Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, not on our merits, but because of who you are. And Lord, we are so thankful that in your wisdom and in your love, that you sent your Son to die for us, to be our Redeemer, to lift us up out of the muck and the mire, to wash us white as snow through the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I pray that we would never forget that glorious redemption through that wonderful Redeemer. And Lord, I pray this morning, even as we open your word, that you would point us towards who you are, so that it might change us and mold us into who you want us to be. Your people around your mission. And we'll give you the thanks and praise, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids can be dismissed to Kids Connect. As you meet the teacher up front here, time in the Word for them. This morning, let's take our scripture here and turn to Exodus chapter 13 for a few moments. This morning, we look at a passage in between the different events going on, the remembering redemption. As we see what's happening here in Exodus chapter 13. You know, I have found through the years that memory is a big part of learning. You know, and there's been different new techniques and different things happening and how different things are being taught. And I tell you, it's interesting sometimes helping kids with homework and having to basically relearn how to do something the way that they're trying to do it. And I'm sitting there like, well, why don't you just do it this way? And why don't you just know this, or know that this equals this or this? And I get told, you got to know how to do all this stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, there's so much that I remember was just memory and memorizing and putting it into our minds. You know, learning is an acquisition of that skill or knowledge, and we learn how to do something and put it into our life. And memory is really an expression of what you've acquired. And you're using your memory to acquire this. And when we look at this passage of Scripture and then we see it in the middle in the context of what it is, there is something very valuable for us to remember and use our memory for. So I want us to look at this passage this morning, Exodus 13. Let's start in verse number 1. It said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine.' Then Moses said to the people, 'Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today in the month of Abib you are going out. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall be you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you, to your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in the time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Here we see in this chapter some important things that are happening with the nation of Israel, and we got to keep in context where they are, the timeline of what's happening here. Just recently we have seen the final plague in the death of the firstborn, the exodus out of Egypt. They have moved from Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land. They have stopped in this town, in this area of Sukkoth, which means booths, it means shelter. And here we see, before even coming to the Red Sea and what we know is upcoming, we see this time of instruction for Israel that God is giving to Moses and telling Moses these different things that they're going to do, that they're going to remember. This has already happened in the final plague. We've already seen the different things that happened there with the taking of the lamb in the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood upon the doorposts. And now, as they have been released, now we see this consecration of the firstborn is talked about, and this feast of unleavened bread that would come in conjunction with the Passover. So why this in the middle? I mean, they're in the middle of this big exodus. They're in the middle of being released from slavery, and they're on their way. And this is all set up. This is all happening before they even get to the Red Sea. And I think there is something very valuable and important when we see what is transpiring with these remembrances and what he has for us. And this morning I want you to see three things about this remembering redemption. The first thing is to mark with meaning. Mark with meaning. Make it meaningful. There, as it starts off in verse 1 of chapter 13, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb amongst the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. Consecrate. The word consecrate has the connotation with it of holiness. He says, make it holy. And the idea of holy is to be set apart, and to be set apart for a reason, for a purpose. He said, I want you to set apart the firstborn. I want you to consecrate. I want you to allow there to be some meaning to the firstborn. And then we see in verse 3, as Moses begins to discuss the feast of unleavened bread, notice he says, then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Remember this day. Don't let this go flippantly through your mind. Don't forget what all is transpiring, but remember this day. Have you ever had those moments in your life? Maybe in the history of your lifetime that you have seen those days that you can't forget. There's certain times when we remember where we were, what we were doing. I remember asking my dad, where were you when JFK was shot? And knowing exactly the feelings, and some that were in classrooms and they knew, you know, what happened in their schools and the things that different things that happened. And you remember that day. You know, for us here just recently, and thinking about September 11th, we remember what happened on that day, where we were on that day. I was in between classes in college, and I stopped in the dorm, and there was on the TV the World Trade Center smoking. And I remember talking to Nicole, who was at work, and we were trying to figure out what all was going on. There are days that you remember, hey, this is where I was. The events that transpire. When there was a birth of a child, I remember when the day that Hayden came was the day the Dallas Cowboys played the Green Bay Packers. Thankfully, it wasn't a very good game. All right? Green Bay Packers beat him pretty soundly that day. But you remember those days, and there's very things that are meaningful in our life, and we remember those aspects and those things. Here, Moses is telling Israel, mark this with meaning. Remember this day, and you're going to have a feast for 7 days to remember all that's transpiring. Now we see also then he goes back to, after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he also goes back to discussing the firstborn. Sometimes we look at this and think, what in the world is transpiring here? Why give the firstborn? Understand that in this culture and in this time, the firstborn was of significant meaning. The firstborn son and the inheritance and the rights that would be passed down through them, their inheritance would be larger than the rest. There was a lot of family tradition and heritage that was passed down through the firstborn. There was a lot of meaning. There was a name that was going to be able to be perpetuated. And you see this moving through, and the firstborn was a meaning. And here, he's saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. If it was an animal, if it was livestock, they would sacrifice the firstborn male. Except, did you notice the one animal? The donkey. Brother Tim said, amen, right? The donkey was not to be sacrificed. The donkey was seen as a highly valuable work animal and service animal was used. It was also, we know that even as Israel could go on, it was an animal for royalty in peacetime. And he was to be redeemed. And then also the firstborn male was to be redeemed through a sacrifice. That they would redeem the firstborn male with a sacrifice of a lamb or the goat. And they would redeem that firstborn son. Why? So that they would remember it was the Lord that provided. That maybe we should get back to remembering that God is the one that provides even in our families. That there is that wonderful opportunity that taking the firstborn and sacrificing and remembering these things so that we remember who really is in control. That it is God who is at work. That it is God who is in control. The unleavened bread, 7 days they were to eat this bread without the leaven. Leaven being that kind of yeast agent that would let the bread rise. Not in the bread because they didn't have time to put it in the bread during that Exodus. They were to go with haste. They were to get out. And so for 7 days they would eat this bread. Can you imagine your kids for 7 days eating this bread? And all the questions that you're getting, why are we eating this again? Or maybe it tasted like chicken nuggets and then they would love it. And kids would eat it all the time. But they would go through the 7 days and these questions would be asked. Why are we doing this? We need to mark it with meaning. Consecrating the firstborn. Remembering this day. We need to make this meaningful. Maybe we need to do the same also with our redemption. To remember the meaning of what it is to know Christ. That He has redeemed us from sin. That we might be free to live in life everlasting with Him. Make it meaningful. The second thing we see is to fuel with intention. To fuel with intention. Look down in verse number 5. As Moses is discussing this, notice what he says. And when the Lord brings you into the land, when He brings you into that land with the promised land, that land filled right now with the Canaanites, the Hivites, Amorites, the Jebusites, that land He swore to give to you, that land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service. Fuel this with intention. As you go down and you look at the consecration of the firstborn, notice what he says in verse 11. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, we see the similarities, we see the repetition. In these both of these instances, in the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the consecration of the firstborn, when the Lord brings you into the land, have they made it there yet? No. And in fact, if we know the history of the Israelites, there's going to be a long time before they even get there. So why even bring it up now? Because sometimes we need to be told, hey, you got to have some intention. You got to put some effort into remembering this. Folks, grace didn't happen so that we could just blow it all off. Fuel with intention. When the Lord brings you into this land, when the Lord brings you into the promised land, I want you to keep this service. When the Lord brings you into this land, verse 12, he says, you shall set apart to the Lord. These actions, keeping the service, setting apart the Lord, this is going to happen when you get to the future. If we're going to remember redemption, that we need to fuel it with intention. That we've got to put the markers in front of us, that we've got to put effort into remembering it. Because when we don't put effort into it, how easy is it to begin to slip away from it? How easy is it to begin that slippery slope away? If we aren't intentional, and if we're haphazard with our faith, and we just go with the flow, we will find that we will be wishy-washy when it comes to the hard times. Fuel it with intention. You know, it's amazing. Just look at, through the years, how this has progressed. How many phone numbers do you remember today? How many actual phone numbers? I'm not telling you how many contacts do you remember. How many phone numbers, actual phone numbers, do you remember? You know, we have these smart devices, right? Sometimes they're a lot smarter than us. And these smartphones store all our contacts info. And I can have all these contacts that I've never had, could remember before. And we think of this as incredible. But you know, how many actual phone numbers do you remember? We intentionally remember. You want to see remembering with intention? Go back to the days of the rotary phone. You know why you remembered that? Because you had to intentionally hit those numbers and go back and forth. You know, it was really neat, to risk some privacy here. You know, growing up, my parents' phone, you know, my dad's a pastor, my parents' phone number, it's really interesting, and if you could put it two together, then you know my parents' home phone number. But it made a cross. The phone number made a cross, so it was very easy for me to remember. You know, we put that intention, we put that value in those different aspects. Now it seems like it can be very easy to let this thing do all our memory. Our calendars. Brother Andrew and I this morning, we're looking at calendars. What do we got next? What's upcoming? It can remember our contacts. It'll tell you whose birthday it is. You don't have to remember birthdays anymore. You don't have to do all these different things. Then it becomes not a whole lot of intention, does it? It's convenient. I'm afraid that it's too easy for us to do that with our salvation, too. When we need to mark it and fuel it with intention, that it should be intentional. That when we, even when we gather every Sunday, that we're reminded on this resurrection day that God with intention sent Jesus Christ to love us and to die for us. And we sing praises and we sing and give and we worship and we go through all this with intention because of what he's done for us. You want to see what people value, see what they intentionally remember and intentionally schedule for. And see what happens. Fuel with intention. And then thirdly, proceed with responsibility. Proceed with responsibility. As you watch this unfolding, as Moses has given them this teaching about the unleavened bread and about the consecration of the firstborn, then we see why it's to happen. In verse 8, you shall tell your son on that day, it's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand, as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord, the law of the Lord, may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall tell your son on that day. In verse 14, in the consecration of the firstborn, it says, and when in a time come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. We proceed with a responsibility. Tell your son. Tell your son. When he sees all that's going on around you, tell your son. Attach action to this meaning. Attach action to this decision. Attach action to what God has done through this redemption. Proceed with this responsibility. Because it is of the Lord and His mighty hand. If God has done something so great for us, why should we hide it? Why should we cover that up? Why should we live as if we don't know Him? But yet we have an opportunity to proceed with the responsibility of passing it on to the next generation. Tell you how incredible it was to hear from Brother Arnold of how he wants to see pastors trained so that the works won't stop, so that they can continue. Proceed with responsibility. It's because of the Lord. Tell your son. And not only that, we see a very interesting thing that becomes a big part of the Jewish faith. In verse 9, it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and a memorial between your eyes. And again, we see that it's mentioned also with the consecration of the firstborn. In verse 16, it shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes. So what were they to do? The Jews, what they began to do with this is they created what was known as phylacteries, which the word phylacteries is really the Greek word. The Hebrew word and idea was the tefillin. And they would make these little boxes out of hide and leather. I was watching them make some of these, and in some places it takes over a year for them to put these together as they dry the hide and create these little boxes out of leather. And they'd create these little boxes. They would put a Hebrew letter on the front for the first letter in the name of God. And they would leave these little boxes where they could put parchment of scriptures in these boxes. And they would take and they would start at the fingers and they'd wrap the hand and they'd put the box about right here close to the elbow. And then they would put one there on their head, just right above their forehead where it could sit. And they'd put these boxes of scripture. And even to this day, there are Jews that practice this in their morning prayers. And they would put those boxes, and inside them, they would put these scriptures. And these two incidents, or two aspects, that are put on parchments and written out and put in those little phylacteries, in those little boxes. And they would put them on their arms, and they put them on their heads. And they would wear the scripture. There's actually two other scriptures that they would add to it. That we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And they would write that and put that in that little box. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, they would take that and put that in that parchment and put it in a box. And they would put it on their hands and on their heads. Do you think you would remember it if it was put there? Do you think that that would be something that would draw attention? Try wearing a little box around tomorrow and see what kind of attention you draw. But when you put that there, and they put that there, was a very intentional aspect that they would have this before them, that they would remember, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That they would remember these passages, that they would remember, by the Lord's hand, He brought us out of Egypt. There was a responsibility, there was action that was being taken. Wear it, and it makes us think, what is visible of our faith? What is visible of our faith? What do people see visibly in us that points them to who Jesus Christ is? here they proceeded with this responsibility. They tied all of these things together. They've marked it with meaning. They've empowered it with intention, and they're proceeding with this responsibility, telling their sons, wearing it on them. Throughout the Old Testament, we see different aspects that are considered types. There's a whole discipline of typology that we can go throughout the Old Testament and see these types that point to something in the future. If there's going to be a type, there has to be an anti-type, something that it's a fulfillment that's coming in the New Testament. The Old Testament, we see different types that are types of Christ, or we see a type of the church. And so we see these different types and these different things that are all pictures in the Old Testament that are pointing to a future fulfillment. They prefigure what's coming in the New Testament. They're very similar, but they aren't the same, because the anti-type is going to be better. It's going to be the fulfillment. It's going to make everything right. And here we see, as we look at this whole Exodus and this whole moving from Egypt to the Promised Land, we are seeing a prefiguring of this redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. This redemption of being bought with a price. That the firstborn, God's only begotten Son, was given for us that we might have eternal life. All of this is a prefiguring of what we are going to see in the future in Jesus Christ. And the type predicts the future work. So when all these things are going on, the consecration of the firstborn, the feast of the unleavened bread, the feast of Passover, as they're remembering all those things and they're going through all those aspects, and we're going to see that they're going to have a whole sacrificial system. All of those types are pointing to the future work of Jesus Christ. We get to look back at Jesus Christ. And we get to see the fulfillment that's coming. It should move upon us, as just as they did with their removal of the in Exodus, of removal from Egypt, of the oppression of slavery, looking forward to that promised land and that redemption. We know the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ is leading us somewhere. It's leading us to an everlasting life and a home in heaven. So we want to mark it with meaning. We want to fuel it with intention and proceed with the responsibility of sharing it for the next generation. You know, in memory, there are three parts. There's the encoding, where we take the information and we transform it and to be able to store it. There's the storing of the information. That's how we maintain it. Sometimes that means we need to review it. And then there's the retrieving, when we access that information. We access that memory. I can kind of see how this plays out in the middle of these different events. We encode, we mark with meaning, we make it transformational in our life. We store, we empower with intention of organizing and of reviewing it to maintain it so we remember. And then we retrieve. We proceed with responsibility of retrieving and accessing that information so that we can share it with somebody else. You see, when we look at remembering redemption here this morning, I want you to understand how well you remember fortifies the vitality of your faith. How well you remember fortifies, it strengthens that vitality, that life of your faith. It doesn't validate it. Your faith is not validated through how you feel. Your faith is validated through the fact of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of what He's done for us. But the faith can be lively and dynamic
when we remember this redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. When we remember what He has done for us, when we remember the price that was paid for us, because even when we are in the darkest places of our life, we can think about that redemption, that cost, that value that was put when God said, "I love you. And I'm going to send Jesus Christ to die for you." And we can remember that redemption, and it gives vitality to our faith. Because no matter who we are, Jesus Christ died that we might have life. And He gives us something to remember. It fortifies our faith because we remember who God is. We remember what He has done, and we remember what He will do in that fulfillment coming in the future. And remember that this, that God is setting this up, and He's telling Moses, and He's telling the Israelites to consecrate the firstborn, to remember this day, this feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. And when you get to the land, when I bring you to the land, I want you to do this. I want this intention. I want this in your life. And all of this is happening in Sukkoth. Because there's still coming a day in the next 2 days where that we're going to see the Israelites standing before the Red Sea with no clear path forward. And they're going to turn around, and behind them they're going to see the dust cloud of Egyptian chariots. And they are going to look at the chariots, and they're going to look at the sea, the chariots in the sea, and they're going to see, "I have no escape." And we're going to see Moses stand up and say, "Be still and see the Lord fight for you." And when we are in between the Red Sea and we're looking at the dust cloud of the Egyptian chariots, and we are in those tough moments, it is those times that we can look up and say, "God has provided Jesus Christ for me. He loves me. He thought of me. And He knows the way, either through the sea or through the army. Our God is capable." We remember redemption because it'll give vitality to our faith. I think it's interesting that before we get to the miraculous Red Sea, that God said, "Hold up. I got something I want you to remember." And I guarantee you, if we spent more time marking with meaning, fueling with intention, and proceeding with responsibility, we would see that vitality of our faith grow because we see who God is and what He has done and how much He loves us. Shall we stand this morning? This morning, as you stand, just there with your head bowed and your eye closed, this morning, instead of just singing through our invitational and response, I've asked Brother Shannon to sing a song for us. And I don't want you to worry anything about looking around this morning or worry about singing a song right now. I want you just to, in that moment, in this spot, in your place, remember redemption. Remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. And this morning, if you don't know that personally, if you need to know what Jesus Christ has done for you, that if you need to know how to know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you'll have a home in heaven, we would love to show you that right here this morning. morning, Brother Shannon's going to sing, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." And right there where you're at in prayer, listen to these words and turn your heart, your mind to that Redeemer. The altar is going to be open if you need a place to come to put that meaning with that redemption. Maybe there's something you need to change, or maybe there's something you just want to praise the Lord for. The altar's open. Attach some action. As He sings this morning, let's take this time to worship and remember our Redeemer.